some 4 weeks ago. But it's very interesting, somewhere around February the 12th, one of our members posted on Facebook, a lot of black folk call all the people they know cousins. A lot of black folk call everybody they know their cousin. I'm not going to call her out since she's here this Sunday morning, but she's married to Roland. I replied, "What's up, cuz?" You know, in the African-American community, we do that. We don't believe in no first cousin, second cousin, third cousin, fourth cousin, fifth cousin removed, cousin by marriage. Everybody just come to the cookout. And now you can't invite everybody to the cookout. We don't have to kick Omarosa out the cookout. We're going to have to kick Jesse out the cookout. Bless his heart. Tim Scott can't come to the cookout. Just some people just can't. If you keep the potato salad in your trunk, you sure can't come to the cookout. But most of us, we just family. We're just family. I will tell you that I come from a very small family. My mother is an only child. And even though my dad has four brothers and sisters, the only cousin that is my age lived in Anchorage, Alaska. And so she and I were too far enough to have a close relationship. But many of you are very, very, very close, especially with your first cousins, especially if they live within the same state. But I was blessed to marry into a huge family. I think if I count it right, 14 cousins. Cynthia has 14 cousins because her mom is one of seven. And they get together Memorial Day, 4th of July, Thanksgiving, Halloween, Christmas, New Year's. Any day on the calendar is a day to get together as family, amen. Anybody come from a family right there? Anybody just good. And everybody, family, now that the grandchildren have children and now their great-grandchildren, we don't say this is your second cousin, this is just your cousin, amen. And that's what I want to talk about this Sunday morning. I want to talk about a tale of two cousins, a tale of two cousins. I know Dickerson wrote a tale of two cities. I want to talk about a tale of two cousins. They come out of two scriptures. I know the scriptures are probably too small for you to read. But let me read them for you. One is Daniel 3, 8 through 18. Daniel 3, 8 through 18. We talked about Daniel a couple of weeks ago. And this is where this sermon idea comes from. Wherefore at the time certain Chaldeans came near and accused the Jews. They spake and said to the king Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. Thou, O king, hast made a decree that every man that shall hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music shall fall down and worship the golden image. And whoso falleth not down and worship, that he shall be cast into the midst of a burning, fiery furnace. And if you're quick enough and have your smartphone, Luke 23:26. Luke 23:26. Tell your neighbor that's in the New Testament. Good fans. Luke 23:26. You'll find written there in Luke 23:26, and as they led him away, they led upon one Simon, a Cyrenian, coming out of the country, and on him they laid the cross that he might bear it after Jesus. And as they led them away, they laid hold upon Simon, a Cyrenian, coming out of the country, and on him they laid the cross that he might bear it after Jesus. Again, this sermonic subject, a tale of two cousins.
we learned a couple of weeks ago that when Nebuchadnezzar decided to make a golden image, and that those three Hebrew boys had to bow down to that image, and were placed in a fiery furnace. But the persons who told on them were their cousins from the Chaldees. The Chaldees is in Mesopotamia. Mesopotamia is in Iraq, Iran, and Syria. But during the biblical days, this whole area that some people call the Levant area is called Mesopotamia. You'll see there at the bottom there is a place called Chaldea. It is from Chaldea where Abraham came from. Abraham, who was there, raised in the city of Chaldea. And in Genesis 12, you find out that he leaves the Ur of the Chaldees on his way to Canaan land. He's there in southern Mesopotamia, which is current southern Iraq. He leaves the Ur of the Chaldees, passes through Babylon on his way to Canaan. Stop in Canaan. He ends up in Egypt for a while. And he stays in Egypt for a while. And then he goes back to the land of Canaan. It's quite interesting that Abraham, who is going to father a nation, who would have this covenant with God, is on his way to Canaan because it is the fertile land. But he does not stop in Canaan. He goes from Canaan, and he goes all the way from Canaan to Egypt. And he spends a couple of years in Egypt before going back. How ironic, but not ironic, because nothing God does is accidental. Because you're reminded that even though your Savior was born in Bethlehem, he is taken from Bethlehem where? To Egypt. And then back to Nazareth to be raised. And so the father of a great nation, the father of a great nation, the Israelite children, he has a likened path. Born in Mesopotamia, raised in the Ur of the Chaldees, has a spirit of God to move, and God just tells him to walk. He keeps walking, passes Canaan, goes all the way to Egypt, spends time in Egypt, then goes and starts raising his family in this new nation in the land of Canaan. From Canaan, and it is in Canaan, that we get Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And if you know the story, it is Jacob who then has 12 sons. One of his sons is a son by the name of Joseph. Joseph is the one who was sold into slavery. And where is he sold into slavery? Into Egypt. He's so nice, he does everything twice. You all get that on Saturday evening. He's so nice, he does everything twice. He's so nice, he does everything twice. I can't get no help over here. He's so nice. I know I got my little PowerPoint stick, but God's over. He's so nice. He does everything twice. The blessing he did for you yesterday, the blessing he did for you last day, the same blessing he's about to do for you now. And so we find out that this man by the name of Abram, he fathers this great nation. And we find out that it's them that have to move to Egypt for 400 years. And they're in Egypt where land almost begins, because life begins in Ethiopia. And we hear in Ethiopia that there's some rivers. There's the Euphrates, there's the Tigris. You can put it back up. And you wonder, if you look at the map now of the world, how do the Euphrates rivers that used to flow through Ethiopia, how do they flow now through Iraq and Iran? If we know life began in Ethiopia, which is in southern or south of Egypt, and all will tell you, the Bible tells you life begins in Ethiopia. The archaeologists will tell you life begins in Ethiopia. There's no doubt that life began on the continent. All right? And we know that there are rivers that flow out of Ethiopia.
the soul, and God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called these seas. And God saw that it
seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself and his kind, and God saw that it was good. When God separated the heaven from the earth was one landform. There were no divisions, but over time, they split in a scientific effort called plate tectonics. That's why if you look at the map, you can kind of fit the puzzle back together.
So that is why those rivers could have flown
through Iraq into past
Saudi Arabia and into Ethiopia because it was one land.
Yes, it is humans and man who have divided up the land. It is humans and land and man who have decided that this place is going to be called that. This place is going to be called that. This is our territory. This is our fiefdom. This is our kingdom. And then we got a crazy man trying to build a wall to further separate people. But that was never in God's plan. God just made the land. For the earth is the Lord's.
And the fullness thereof. Everything that was created by him. And by him. Now, I believe in plate tectonics because I believe that things do shift because there's always a shifting in the atmosphere. But one of the things I cannot believe in is evolution and Darwinism. Some of y'all might go ahead with yourself, but I, as a preacher of the gospel and believer in the Bible, can't believe that because I believe that God made everything. Because if a monkey once made a man, where the monkeys now making man? Monkey is still a monkey. A dog still a dog. A cat still a cat. Now, if there was something called evolution, things would still be evolving. But ain't nobody evolved. Your hair fell out, but you ain't evolved. Stuff stopped working just because. Let me leave that alone. See, when man starts playing God, that's when we start messing up. Let God be God and let God do his thing and let you catch up with God. God ain't trying to catch up with you. Help me, somebody. I'm trying to be scholarly, but I just can't sometimes. Well, fast forward to the day that Jesus was crucified. Fast forward to the day that Jesus was crucified. You know the story. He's there in the Garden of Gethsemane. He's pained because, digging more, he knows he's about to die. He takes three of his best friends with him, Peter, James, and John, and they go with him as far as they could go, and they fall asleep on Jesus. And young men, you will learn in life that some people are going to fall asleep with you. That everybody who cool and in your crew right now ain't going to go with you all the way, man. So you appreciate it right now. But everybody can't go all the way with you. And so these men fall asleep on Jesus. And that night, he is taken from judgment hall to judgment hall. Pilate finds him not guilty, but there's an outside jury. And this outside jury finds him guilty. And they sentence him to death. And he is going up the Via Dolorosa. He is going from the Triptorium Guard all the way up to Golgotha's Hill. And the Bible says that he falls under the weight of his cross. And one of the reasons why he falls under the weight of the cross is not because those two beams of wood were that heavy. It's because my sins and your sins. I said my sins. And maybe you forgot that you have sinned, but you probably already done sinned by now. My sins and your sins were nailed to the cross. So he falls under the weight of our sins. And the Bible says, as a man coming out of the country, his name is Simon and he is from Cyrene. There is a man, his name is Simon, and he's coming out of Cyrene. You read it for yourself. His name is what? And he's coming from where? Cyrene is in present-day Libya in northern Africa. Libya is to the west of Egypt, where the children of Israel spent 400 years. They were slaves in Egypt for 400 years. 400 years they were slaves, like our ancestors were slaves for 246 years in North America. Stop telling people we were slaves 400 years. We weren't. Do your math. 246 years. 1619 to 1865. Thank God your pastor has a PhD in history. So, slaves run. Ain't no slave want to be a slave. Ain't no slave want to stay a slave. As soon as they get the opportunity, they run. Well, they can't run north because if they run north, they're going to drown. So they run two directions. They run west to Libya, and they run south. And they many of them end up back in Ethiopia where life began. The second largest concentration of Jews in the world are in Ethiopia. When I was in Israel last year, I ran into this Ethiopian Israeli. And I could have fainted because I read about them. I knew about them, but CNN don't talk about them. I knew about them. I read about them, but CNN don't talk about them. When you hear about Israel and Jews, you think of New York. And Israel. And so when I saw this sister who had more melanin than me, when I saw this sister that had more melanin than me, I said, praise the Lord. Can I take a picture with you? Because in America, nobody will believe you're Jewish. And so here is this man by the name of Simon, who is a Cyrenian Jew. He is a North African Jew. How do you know that, preacher? Because it's the Passover. And every Jew has to come to Jerusalem, Betty, for the Passover. Every now and then, God is just going to get you at the right place at the right time. I said every now and most times, God is just going to get you at the right place and at the right time. In Daniel, the cousins hated on their brothers and sisters. In Daniel, the cousins told on them. In Daniel, we got a bunch of snitches that get stitches. But in Luke, we find a good cousin. A good cousin who's there to help you when you're down. A good cousin who's there to help you when you don't have any money. A good cousin who's going to help you get to your job. A good cousin who's going to call you when you're not doing well. A good cousin who's going to make sure everything's all right. A good cousin who's going to work the grill. And make sure the cookout got three coolers. Help me, somebody. Y'all ain't all saved. And so the Bible says that they compelled this man, Simon of Cyrene, to help Jesus, his cousin, bear his cross. All of us have crosses to bear. I said, all of us have crosses to bear. And that's why the songwriter asked the question, must Jesus bear the cross alone and all the world go free? For there is a cross for everyone, and there is a cross for me. The consecrated cross I bear till death shall set me free. And then go home. I said, and then go home. And then go home, my crown and my trophy to wear. For there is a crown for me, and there is a trophy for you. Can you give God praise today? Can you give God praise today? We praise God, for He is the God who's so nice that He does everything twice. And thank God, no matter your color, no matter your creed, no matter your ethnicity, we all come from the same God. We all bleed the same color. We are all family. Give somebody a high five and say, you are my cousin. Give somebody a high five and say, you are my cousin. I don't care if you got my last name. I don't care if we come from the same town. I don't care if you look alike. You are my family. Give God praise if you're in the family of God. Hallelujah. Thanks be unto God. Let us stand on our feet. There might be one today.